crazy. Well, look at, I mean, just look at Paul, right? Paul in the New Testament, that guy traveled everywhere. But what did he do? He invested in Timothy as a teenager. And so when Timothy was probably in his early 30s, he was an elder in Ephesus, the third largest city in the Roman Empire, with the Apostle John.
Yeah.
Could you, now, in the U.S., Chicago is the third largest metro area. Could you imagine if Rick Warren appointed, somehow, if he had the authority to do this, he appointed a 32 or 34-year-old to be an elder of the capital
city
church of Chicago?
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Yeah,
nobody would think it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Paul did.
Welcome to the PD Podcast. My name is Mingo, and this is part two of a conversation I had at Thrive Conference with Forbes Under 30 contributor Wes Gay. As always, thanks for tuning in, and thanks for joining the conversation.
When you talk about the observations that you've made with the millennial generation, right, we're talking about a 20-year roster of people.
Yeah.
What are you seeing trend-wise as it collides with the local church? Because right now I think it's strong-armed by largely the boomer generation when it comes to those who hold the keys in an executive position.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a bit of a surge with, you know, sub-leadership roles within the organization, but really very few in my mind are really circuiting their way to the highest levels of authority.
Yeah. I think it was Barna came out earlier this year and said the average age of the American pastor is 54.
Yes.
Right? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is up 10 years.
Like if you look at the 25-year range, that's like a 14-year gap in 25 years. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So from a local church, particularly at a staffing and a leadership level, for some reason, we're not embracing generational diversity. If millennials can start and run billion-dollar companies, right? Remember, Zuckerberg is only 32. The co-founders of Snapchat are what, mid-20s?
Yeah.
That's a 20-something billion-dollar valuation right now. But if they can start and run billion-dollar companies and create really six-figure brands off their YouTube accounts, I'm pretty sure they can serve the local church. But what a lot of churches do, this drives me nuts. Hey, we've got millennials, and you find the 27-year-old guitar player who can sing, who then you put him on stage to lead worship next to the 29-year-old female who's your female singer, and there's like, oh, we got millennials, and then everybody else on stage is over 50.
You mentioned Zuckerberg being in his 20s when he launched.
He's 32 now, I think.
Snapchat, Twitter, all of those entrepreneurs being in the millennial bracket.
Yeah.
And then just the absence, the just gross absence of them in the local church at a leadership level.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk for days about just an attendee level, but the problem is I don't think churches have been really value this generation at all. It's what it boils down to. Because I talked to the guy's a senior VP of Chick-fil-A, and he's been at Chick-fil-A like 35 years, written several books, he's a brilliant leader. And he basically said, man, when, and he told me on the phone one day, he said, when we hire consultants at Chick-fil-A, I always ask for the young people on the account. He said, I don't want the partners, because they always have the same stuff. They say the same things. They have the same viewpoint as I do. His comment to me was, when you've been around the block a few times, you start to recognize the landmarks. We need fresh vision. We need fresh perspective.
That's good.
Churches just don't value that. Senior pastors think, oh, you dumb kids or whatever it is. And what's happening, and I have a lot of friends who are this way, there's just no place for them to serve the local church. They either have to go 100%. Be a church, they go be a church planner, which they never really wanted to be. That's the only way they can serve.
Right.
Or they wind up in the secular world wanting to get back and serve in the local church, and they just can't.
Yeah, there's literally no afforded opportunity.
Yeah.
Or it's so specialized in such an unattractive way. It's like, hey, be the guy that holds the sign as people come driving into the parking lot.
Yeah. It's like, why not, if you've got a 32-year-old millennial in your church who's a smart business guy, why not let him, if he could do it, be a bivocational executive pastor? Your church may not can afford to hire a full-time person.
Right.
But if he can work it out, do a part, you know, one day a week, a few hours, something, to be able to be involved in your leadership, or bring some on as elders, bring him on as deacons, some kind of way to have
leadership. That's wild talk, Wes. That's wild talk,
man. But again, if you've got millennials who are the most educated generation in history, they are starting and running million and billion dollar businesses. They can lead big change at massive companies. Like one of the biggest things to hit IBM last year, they have 400,000 employees. The biggest news from IBM last year came from a dress, of all things, that somebody wore to the Met Gala in 2016. Right, but it interacted with Watson, their supercomputer, and as people tweeted about the dress changed colors. Right, whose idea was it? It's a 28-year-old friend of mine
That's crazy.
Millennial at IBM. She figured out the money. She got it all approved, yeah. Whatever, and it became the topic. It was a globally trending thing.
Loaded with, I'm guessing, LEDs?
Mm-hmm. It was loaded with some kind of LEDs. It was connected to their supercomputer deal, and that was the biggest thing that happened. Yeah, led by millennials, right? So we've got to value the generation. We've got to realize they're not the 21-year-olds in college anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They're 32, they're 35, yeah, they're 28. Yeah. They've been at
that
this
was a great
while.
Point that you had made earlier, that they're no longer this, like, beanie wearing, latte sipping. Well, maybe they are, but they're not just wondering what to do with life. They're already down the road.
They're already doing
making
life.
Stuff, like making good out of it.
They could run for president, some of the older ones, right?
It's crazy.
They're already they're approaching their 40s in a couple of years. They're going to hit their midlife crisis before long.
I just hit 35. I start rounding up, bro.
I know. You're getting close. You get over the hill soon.
Man, that's so good. I can't even fathom. Like, it's disappointing to me when I think of. And I connect with lots of churches, lots of senior-level leaders to go, like, you should try to afford some space at your executive level for a part-time, bivocational
something
millennial. They'd be like, you're crazy.
Well, look at Paul, right? Paul in the New Testament, that guy traveled everywhere. Mm-hmm. But what did he do? He invested in Timothy as a teenager. And so when Timothy was probably in his early 30s, he was an elder at Ephesus, the third largest city in the Roman Empire, with the Apostle John.
Yeah.
Now, in the U.S., Chicago is the third largest metro area. Could you imagine if Rick Warren appointed, somehow, if he had the authority to do this, if he appointed a 32 or 34-year-old to be an elder of the capital
city
church of Chicago?
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
Yeah,
nobody
true.
Would think it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Paul did. With John, the apostle, they served together in that church.
That's a great observation.
You know, so why is it, and this is, and a lot of people may be older thinking, oh, he's just a whiny millennial. But again, I go back to.
Hey, maybe we are.
Maybe we are. But if millennials are valued in the workplace, right? If they're valued in their jobs to make million-dollar decisions, forget the ones who are the owners. Forget the ones who are the founders.
Right.
They're just managing departments now. Mm-hmm. I can talk about the 35-year-old guy who is the VP of Human Resources for Scripps Media. Scripps Networks Interactive, the company that owns Food Network, HGTV, Travel Channel, like all those brands. He's 35.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, he's in charge of millions and millions of dollars. No problem. But my guess is, in his local church, he's probably not allowed to do more than either go on youth trips as a chaperone or serve in children's ministry.
Oh, that's big.
Is he being vetted for an elder? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's not on staff.
Yeah.
Like, so why do we undervalue the largest generation in history? Because if we don't handle this now, we are in the midst of, I think, my prediction is next 3 to 5 years, we're seeing this massive generational handoff. So the baton is in motion.
Right.
And if we don't execute now, we're going to drop that baton and the church is going to struggle.
That's big. I'm going to say something. I want you to bounce back on it because I've been telling a lot of people this. I said, you know what? If you have to wait, if you're waiting for this magical baton to show up in your hands, you might actually miss your prime. So I've been telling kids, like, I would rather go off, figure out a few, like, materials and just start making our own.
Yeah.
And I just want to start handing them out. Because if you believe that you've got it, you're going to execute. You're going to run the lap like you're on it, right? So I told people, stop waiting for the baton. Start realizing that you're already on the track.
Uh-huh.
Right? I'll hand you one. You just run as hard as you can.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when we're waiting for this, like, authority piece to be delegated to.
That's exactly
what
it is.
But the reality is, a study 2 years ago said that 80% of millennials believe they have leadership abilities. Well, think back. When did the leadership development industry explode? The 80s.
Did it?
There was no leadership development industry for John Maxwell. I mean, he was kind of the guy.
He was like
John Maxwell, Jackson. But in the 80s, there was nobody doing it before him at the level that it is now. So you think for the last 20 or 25 years, John Maxwell and everybody who's ripping him off, saying leadership is influence, leadership is influence.
Right.
So we've grown up hearing that. We now know we have the access to influence people like never before through our social media channels.
And it's happening. It's not even that it's possible. It's just a
natural thing. Yep. I can't see how many times I've done something or bought something simply because a friend of mine said they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wasn't actively looking for it. I just saw the recommendation. I tried a restaurant. I went to a coffee shop. I bought this thing. Right? We're influenced by people. We're leading people through our influence all the time online.
Yeah.
This generation knows how to do that instinctively. Right? So what the church has got to figure out is, how can we channel that influence together? Like, how do we bring that in and collaborate together for the sake of the kingdom?
Yeah, that's good.
And bring that in the right direction. It's going to cause a little creativity. I said this morning in my session. When we talk about the millennials thing, what really boils down to is, a lot of times it requires that we change things that are long overdue. A lot of times.
That's really good.
Things that we should have changed 20 years ago, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Not, even if it's working all right.
Yeah.
It still requires us to change it.
It is not simply because of millennials. It's simply because culture changes. Things shift. People change.
Yeah.
Right? You can't tell me, my granddad's 85. He likes FaceTime. 85-year-old man loves FaceTime. Right? He has an iPad.
Yeah.
Right? He uses all this. My dad's in his 50s. He loves his Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very connected mm-hmm. into all that stuff. So it's not a generational thing anymore. We're just in a different world.
Yeah.
And if we're not, we keep the same biblical principles. We don't change our principles. But if we're not adjusting how we engage with people based on how things are
methods
shifting
have
around
to
us,
change.
Yeah.
That's funny because it's written right here in the Purpose-Driven Church. That's really what Rick wrote about the church.
Yeah.
25 years ago, he wrote, you know, the principles can't change. Mm-mm. Right? Those are God-given. Those are
We don't get to define the principles. They have already been defined for us. Our objectives are defined for us.
Yep.
And what God's called us to do is defined for us. What does change is how that plays out in our specific context.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too.
The method.
People think the method is what they read online. They say, oh, well, this church reaches millennials. Yeah, but that church is in downtown LA.
It has to be contextual.
Right? You can't, my guess is, how one Saddleback location reaches people is different than how another one.
100%.
It has to, because the context is different.
Yeah, absolutely.
We forget context.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? It's kind of lazy, because what we want to say is, like, copy paste.
Yeah.
Right, is the worst idea ever. But for I'm not going to nail the boomer. That's the easiest thing you can do. You just like select what you like, copy it, and then you drag it to the place you want it to be, and you paste it. But context is something I think that we're innately keen on.
Yeah.
Right? We understand, wow, this does not fit, and we avoid it like the plague.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we're in a season where a lot of executives, no matter what age they are, have run the easy game, which is like copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. We'll just paste this all over the place.
I saw this on a line. I heard this at a conference.
Yep. Yeah. I want to buy the bundle and I want to just insert it into my thing. We bolt it on. And I think that the millennial generation is like, ooh, that doesn't work here. And I don't even like the fact that you're trying to make that work here.
Yeah. Because it goes back to authenticity.
Thank you.
If you, for your staff, if you change every time you get back from a vacation or a conference, which I've been on those staff meetings where, like, you always dreaded the senior pastor coming back or the leader because, like, oh, I had a week off.
Everything's going to shift.
I went to this conference. Oh, we're changing everything again.
Yeah.
Like, that level of inconsistency and inauthenticity is going to run people away every time. Because at the end of the day, authenticity is not a style. It's not a program. It's not a method. Authenticity is about your confidence and your identity in Christ, period. Millennials are the most targeted generation in history since childhood with Disney movies.
Yeah.
Right? We've been hit with every Disney
those
animated
stupid
classic. Yeah.
Puffy Disney boxes.
And they're bringing them back.
Right?
With the real Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. The real Beauty and the Beast thing and all this kind of stuff.
They're attacking your kids now, bro.
Yeah. Well, they're attacking us because they knew we grew up on that stuff. We've been targeted too. We've been talked about. We've been studied and researched ad nauseum. So we can spot a phony about 10 miles away.
This is so good.
I know a guy I worked for, he's in his mid-50s, he's been in ministry 30-plus years, he's got his doctorate in ministry. He doesn't try to be cool at all. He is fully confident in who he is, and he's fine with it, he doesn't care. But the 90-year-old ladies, the 3-year-olds, the 17-year-old guy who's like doing push-ups and drinking protein shakes during worship, you know that high school football punk? Like, they all love this guy.
Yeah.
Because he is who he is, he cares about people, and at the end of the day, that's what draws people.
I love that. Wes, thank you so much for just unpacking your guts and your convictions in the RV today. If you were to give a final word, a word of encouragement, because we've done a lot of assessing, we've done a lot of picking. Hopefully people aren't like weeping on the other line because they're like self-identifying, right?
Yeah.
What would you give as a word of encouragement? And we've got two segments, like I told you, we really do. We're wrapping ourselves around executive leaders. By way of recommendation from emerging leaders, what's your final word?
From executive leaders is stop talking at millennials and start talking to them.
That's good.
Man, just get to know people, right? Just find out who they are, what makes them tick, and then really help point them to Jesus in those things. As your staff, as your volunteers, as your congregation, just make it about people. I wish it was more complicated than that, but it's really not.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
I think that we were at Catalyst a few weeks back and we said, you know, if we could stop talking about the next generation and just start talking with them, we'd actually find some solutions.
Leverage their strengths, and you'd be amazed at what happens when you let them use what they have where they are for the kingdom.
That's super good. Any word for our young hustlers, our young bivocational up-and-coming kiddos?
Yeah. This is more of a word of I'm just going to be a little mean for a second.
Yeah, go for it.
One thing that we...
Brace yourself. Wes is getting mean.
Yeah, watch out.
Wes is getting mean.
One thing millennials don't do well is we don't honor the past generation sacrifice. I've been in churches that are over 100 years old, and you'll have young people go, oh, we're going to do all this different. It's like, we forget. Yes, music style should probably change, and yes, this and that should shift. But we've got to take time to intentionally honor and respect the people who, for 50-plus years, have sacrificed for this
they
church to happen.
They were at the plow. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I know churches literally that they still have people in them who were digging the shovels for the first building. Mm-hmm. It's like, if we're not honoring and respecting those people and their sacrifice and willing to learn and help guide them along the way, mm-hmm. I'd say that. The second thing is, if you're in a church, if you're full-time on staff and you're encountering resistance from old people, older people, so particularly like the retired age who tend to gripe anyway, here's what I'd suggest, and I got this from a guy I worked for. Find out where the old men go for coffee in the mornings. Right? It's probably like a diner somewhere.
It's probably at like 5:05 a.m.
It's probably at 5 a.m. They're probably getting coffee, which is probably, it's probably just basically hot brown water. It's not even really considered coffee. The reality is, what are they going to do? They're going to meet like old men do, and they're going to swap news. They're basically going to gossip like women, like old women do, but around their version of a coffee shop.
Yep.
Show up.
Yeah.
Literally, there's a guy I worked with. He would occasionally, he knew where the old men hung out on which days of the week, and he would just show up. Unannounced, he'd sit at the table with them, have a cup of coffee, eat some bacon and eggs, no agenda, and they just got to know him. And over time, they trusted him. And the more they trusted him, the more they trusted his leadership.
That's good.
So he earned their permission to lead through change.
That's good. Earning permission is huge. That's something we don't like. I don't like to even think about digesting
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really great word. That's not as harsh as I thought it was going to come out as.
I can be mean.
I don't want you to be mean, dude. We want to keep these. We're going to keep these ears. Wes, if people want to follow along with your thoughts and along with your writings, how do we do that?
The best way to do it is on Twitter. It's at Wesgay, WESGAY, and my website, just wesgay.com.
That's perfect. All right, Wes, I love your perspective. I appreciate you dropping all of that wisdom on us. I hope that this propels some young leaders forward, some existing leaders. I hope it challenges them. And then we'll catch up. I don't know where we'll meet up again, but I was so stoked. This is our first time we met. If all this chemistry works because Jesus is in the middle of it, do me a favor, share this conversation if you enjoyed it. Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.